friends. I didn't like the bright red spots that pranced in front of my vision any more than the way she cleared her throat before saying, friends. Pressing my lips flat, I sat back, wanting this meeting to end as quickly as possible. Stuart had known exactly what to say to get to me, and I felt like an idiot for trying to one-up her. Now the only thing I'd think about during my lesson with Cooper was whether or not he was sleeping with my probation officer's sister. At least that would keep my mind away from the money in my account and what disasters I could blow it on. The meeting with Stuart lasted another few minutes, and then she set up our next appointment in a month on, no surprise, my birthday. As she walked me toward the front of the building, she turned to me and said, I called Dave to verify your community service hours this morning, and he said you haven't checked in yet. When I didn't reply, instead feigning interest in a tattooed guy slurping down water at the fountain outside of the bathroom and sweating profusely, Stuart handed me a business card with an address scribbled on the back. I've set you up an appointment with him today at noon. She shrugged and gave me a little smile. Just so you can meet him. I've got a surf lesson, I said automatically, and her polite smile faltered a bit. I'm sure Cooper will understand. He's the best, after all. Right. The best. With her sister. But when I gulped in the taste of fresh air a few minutes later, not sparing the probation office another glance as I rushed to the Kia, I didn't know what Cooper would think. Yesterday during our lesson he'd been quiet, focused only on work. There had been no flirting, very little touching, and I'd found myself confused and wanting both. Today, the moment I stepped into the front of his shop and he gave me a dizzying smile from behind the counter where he was going through a surfboard catalog with a couple around my parents' age, I realized I would leave just as frustrated as I'd been yesterday.
Give me a few,
he mouthed, gesturing his head to the back of the house. I nodded. I walked out to the deck where I began stripping down to my suit. I was unbuckling my Steve Madden wedge sandals when I heard him walk outside. I didn't immediately acknowledge him, but I could feel the heat from his gaze running from my ankles and up my bare legs. When I felt it skim past my breasts, I lifted my chin. If he was ashamed at being caught watching me, he didn't show it. Instead, I was the one who blushed all over as I folded my sundress into neat creases and set it on the deck bench.
I'm impressed, Wills. You're on time and I didn't even have to call.
I cut him off. I've got to leave early today. I expected a smart-ass, would you leave shooting with Dixon early response, but he slid down on the bench next to me, draping his arm around the wooden handrail and looked into my eyes.
You're all right, aren't you?
There was a genuine concern in his voice that caught me off guard. Nodding, I tucked a loose strand of hair behind my ear, suddenly conscious of his scent, coconut and sunblock. My voice was husky when I said, I had my first probation meeting this morning with Officer Stuart. I paused to let her name sink in, but his expression didn't change and his body stayed relaxed. I've got to go meet my community service boss this afternoon. He nodded his head slowly and started to drag his shirt over his head.
What time?
Noon. He half laughed, half groaned, shrugging his shirt back down. I gave him a blank look and he said,
Then why did you have your bodyguard drop you off? It's 10:45 now.
Honestly, because I hadn't paid the slightest bit of attention to the time. I'd been too rattled by the meeting with Stuart and the money in my account. I reached for my bag where I'd slid it under the bench. I'll call Miller and... Cooper's hand closed around my wrist. A shiver raced through me and my fingers tightened. I took one breath, and two more just to be sure of myself. Then I met his gaze full on. The way his blue eyes alternated between confusion and want and astonishment made me want to melt into him. Made me breathless all over again. His lips parted.
Don't.
Why? I whispered, in a voice that was too heavy and pleading for my own good.
I'll take you.
Our lips were inches from connecting. I glanced away and tried to focus on the vacationers lounging in beach chairs several feet from his deck, but even then the sound of their radio became fuzzy. The sight of their Corona bottles clinking together became a haze. The only thing that was vivid was Cooper's face when he tucked his finger under my chin and compelled my gaze back to his, whispering my name in that accent. "You've got work," I said, but my words were more for myself. He had a rule about clients. I was his client, and at the end of the summer my movie would be shot and I'd have to leave. I couldn't want him like this or my heart would get ripped out when that time came. Holding my chin steady, he traced his other hand from my wrist up to my elbow and from there to my shoulder. He bent forward, dipping his head a little so that I could feel his breath hot against my throat.
"I'm my own boss, Willow."
One of his fingertips brushed over my lips, and I couldn't help it. I flicked my tongue out over the rough skin. His grip on my shoulder tightened, and he cursed against the delicate skin at my collarbone. "I can call Miller."
"I'm taking you."
His voice was more determined than before. "What the hell makes you think I want you to take me anywhere?" He drew away from me, and my chest deflated. I struggled to keep the uninterested look on my face as he linked his hands behind his head. I was anything but bored, and by the way he was grinning, he knew that too.
"Because of the way you're looking at me right now."
"And how is that?"
"Like, if Eric and Paige hadn't come back just before I walked out here, I'd have your legs wrapped around my waist in 5 minutes."
"Your confidence makes me want to blow chunks all over you." He dropped his hands from behind his head.
"Get dressed before..."
"Before what?" I challenged. He pulled me down onto the deck floor with him, like he didn't care if anyone could see us or that he'd known me for all of a week. And while his lips and tongue probed mine, my brain screamed at me, begging me to remember that it had been only a week. Shoving his chest hard with my hands, I stumbled backward into my feet. Turning my back to him, I grabbed my clothes from the bench and began yanking them back on. My breath came out in ragged little gasps, and I was trembling. I was mad at him for making me want more, and with myself for being stupid enough to let him affect me. When I was calm enough to face him, he was still on the floor of the deck, and his eyes were gleaming. "Why are you laughing?" I snapped, plopping down in a patio chair to shove my feet into my sandals. He stood, staring down at me like he wanted nothing more than to tear my clothes off.
"Because you didn't puke on me, and because you're going to break your neck cleaning gum from park benches in those shoes."
I rose to my feet and smoothed down my sundress. His breath hitched as I shook my long, dark hair out before knotting it at the top of my head. "Ready?"
"You're not going to argue with me?"
he asked. And I glared at him, evoking a grin that made me want to run my lips across the dimple in his left cheek.
"God, I love when you come undone, Wills."
Chapter 8. Cooper was wrong about me having to clean gum off park benches. The card Stuart had given me directed us to a homeless shelter for women and children, but he sure as hell was right about the shoes. While I found out that I wasn't scheduled to do any community service today, Dave, my boss, took me on a 2-hour orientation of the shelter. By the time we went through our third rotation of the grounds, I was caught between wanting desperately to kick off my shoes and wondering if Cooper had given up on me and gone home. I hoped not, because I'd stupidly left my bag and phone sitting on the front seat of his Jeep.
"So do you think you've got a grasp on what you'll be doing?"
Dave asked. I nodded. "Kitchen duties. Cleaning, serving, and helping unload deliveries, to be exact." I glanced around the massive dining room one final time as we shuffled through it. To be honest, it reminded me of the one at my court-ordered rehab, bleach-scented, with 3 rows of plain, scuffed wooden tables and chairs, and a kitchen with a serving window at the front of the room. Thinking of rehab brought a swell of hysteria into my throat, but I gulped it back when I spotted a group of kids huddled at the end of a table at the other side of the room, staring at Dave and me, whispering loudly. I gave a tiny wave in their direction.
"It seems you have fans," Dave said as we left the large room.
The sound of excited giggling followed us.
"We've got quite a few of your older movies on DVD."
"Back before you turned into just another party girl," I added for him. "It's the first time I've been recognized since coming here," I admitted. He belly laughed and walked me outside to the front of the building. Cooper's Jeep was still parked across the street, thank God.
"With your movie about to start filming, I'm sure you'll be recognized everywhere you turn," Dave said.
I knew he didn't mean anything by it, but my muscles went rigid anyway.
"I can't wait,"
I said in a voice that was detached, robotic.
"Do you have any idea when you'll be able to begin working at Harmony House?"
Dave asked. "Monday," I answered quickly. I wanted to knock out my community service as quickly as possible, and I wanted something to focus my attention on other than surfing and work and Cooper. "I'll have my bodyguard drop me off after work." He looked pleased with my response. Pumping my hand in his, he said,
"We'll see you then."
As I walked to the edge of the sidewalk, he cleared his throat. I turned, shifting one of my eyebrows up.
"You should probably wear work clothes."
I nodded my understanding. "I will." When I got into Cooper's Jeep, he cast me a questioning look.
"How do your feet feel, Wills?"
"Like I could paddleboard all day, Billabong." A grin crept its way across his face, and his shoulders shook slightly.
"Nice, but I'm canceling the lesson for today."
"What? Why?" He raked his hand across his chest, ruffling the front of his gray alternative apparel shirt.
"Because I've been thinking about you too much."
"You're getting paid to train me," I pointed out. He merged onto the highway, seemingly absorbed in the Incubus song playing on the radio. I crossed my arms over my chest. I was more interested in hearing what Cooper had to say than listening to Brandon Boyd sing about picturing someone's face in the back of his mind. The lyrics were way too close to my own dilemma with the guy sitting beside me. When the song ended and a commercial for a nightclub replaced it, Cooper sighed.
"There's a 40-year-old cougar paying me to train her, and I don't give her a second thought after our lessons,"
he told me. "Cooper,
I'm not going to beg you to be with me, Wills. I'm not going to chase you or do any of that. But just know that I want you, and before you say it, fuck the rule."
He cast a tight grin in my direction.
"Not that I've broken it."
"You don't know anything about me," I said. "Just like I don't know anything about you other than I want to throw myself at you every time we see each other," I thought.
"And I've told you before that I don't have to know you to want you. Sex between us would be..."
When he didn't continue, instead clenching his hands on the steering wheel and squinting at the road as he struggled to come up with the perfect word, I was sure he was thinking the same thing I was. Amazing. Shattering. Catastrophic for my heart. A moment later, we were parked in the empty driveway of my rental, and he turned off the engine. "Cooper, what exactly do you want from me?" I asked. He offered me a strained look that made my chest ache and my throat tighten.
"Nothing. Damn it, everything. I needed to get it out there, Wills, how I'm feeling about you. Yeah, I'm your coach, but I'm also a guy, and you're digging your way under my skin."
He laid his head back on the cloth headrest, lifting his chin and squeezing his eyes shut. Before I could stop myself, I was out of my seatbelt, pressing my lips to the column of his throat. He groaned.
"Don't fucking tease."
"I'm trying to spend this summer focusing on my career," I whispered, and Cooper opened his blue eyes to take me in. He brushed strands of my hair back from my face. "I just got out of rehab, and I'm not..."
"I get it."
"You don't," I said firmly. "I don't like being attracted to you, And if you think I'm getting under your skin, just imagine what you're doing to me. I've not been in a real relationship in a long time, Cooper. But here you are, and you scare the shit out of me. A look of understanding and then pity entered his eyes. A deep burn scorched its way through my stomach, up to my chest, and I reached for the door handle. He closed his hand around my wrist, jerking me back to him.
"Somebody fucking hurt you," he said in a dangerous voice.
"Yes."
"Who?"
"Why does it matter? You going to break his legs with a surfboard?" When Cooper pressed his lips together determinedly, I heaved a sigh. "Tyler Leonard." Even now, 3 years later, my voice cracked whenever I said his name. I didn't watch his movies. I pretended not to notice whenever his picture made the cover of Us Weekly. And yet I still couldn't let him go.
"The actor?"
Cooper asked. I nodded, using every acting chop within me to hide the disappointment. "We met during filming. Into the Dark, my first and only horror movie, and my last successful film before my fall."
"He's what, 10 years older than you? What, did you have a crush on him and he turned you down?"
Cooper's voice was hopeful, and for a second I thought about telling him what he wanted to hear, but then I gripped my free hand into the fabric of my dress. "When you're in Hollywood, you've got all these people who think that you're so fucked up, that you're so jaded, even when you're just a kid, you know? But I wasn't back then. I mean, yeah, I went to parties with my friends, but I hadn't..."
"He was your first."
When I didn't answer, he growled a curse.
"And that's what started..."
"The drugs." "No, and yes. Part of it was what had happened between me and him, and part of it was just myself. I'd wanted a permanent anesthesia to numb away the short memories of what I'd given up."
"Willow,"
Cooper said, dropping his fingers from around my wrist so he could rake his hands through his blonde hair. Anxiety pulsed through my veins again, but this time, instead of making a run for it, I pulled him close to me, dragging his lips down on mine to hush out any more pity. We were in the most awkward position imaginable, with the center console acting as a frustrating barrier between our bodies, but all I could think about were Cooper's fingertips cupping my face and caressing my skin, his lips on my mouth.
"Wills, don't do this if..."
He started to pull away, but I shook my head and wrapped my arms around his neck, pulling him into me. As his tongue parted my lips and his hand squeezed my breast, I skimmed my fingers beneath the top of his gray t-shirt. My hand brushed over the scar on his shoulder, and he shivered. He pulled back, and the light filtering around him made him seem so ethereal my head spun.
"Why are you doing this?"
he demanded in a low voice against my mouth. "You take the nightmares away," I wanted to tell him. "Because I don't fucking know you, but when I'm with you, I want to feel again. I don't need pills or noise or a distraction." Instead, I whispered, "Because you said you'd always look after me." His Adam's apple bobbed.
"I'm not going to take advantage of you."
"Because of what I told you about Tyler?"
"Because you're using me to flush him out of your system. When you come to me, when we do this, I want it to be because you're thinking about me, not some perverted shit who fucked you over when you were a kid."
I straightened, smoothing my dress and keeping my eyes wide so I wouldn't cry. I refused to. "You sound like a movie," I said in a thick voice. He raked his hands through his hair and held it back for a long moment before releasing it. Then he gave me a long, hard, unnerving stare.
"Good. Guess sometimes Hollywood does make sense."
"I'm going in now, Cooper." He didn't argue or beg. He wasn't going to chase me. Before I reached the front door to the rental house, his Jeep was halfway up the street. The rest of my weekend was quiet, slow, but full of dreams that rocked me so hard I woke up screaming. The first one, Saturday night, Miller had come bolting down the stairs, barging in with a spare set of keys to find me hunched over the toilet. "I'm fine. Just go away," I'd muttered, placing one cheek on the cool surface of the tile floor. But leaving the bathroom to get a drink of water, I'd found him sitting on the brown suede couch with his elbows resting on his thighs.
"I said I'm fine," I barked,
clenching my hands, and he glanced up at me, his eyes tired and full of worry. It was weird to see someone as tall and muscled as Miller look so helpless, but he did.
"You're sure?"
And I knew what he was implying. He wanted to know if I was high. Sighing, I sat down next to him. Drying the dampness from my face with the back of my hand, I nodded. "I swear I am." But I wasn't, because the entire time I'd had my head in the bowl, I was trying to remember Eric's father's name. The resident lazy, pill-dealing douchebag, Eric had called him on the day we met. But as I vomited, I didn't care what he was, only that he had something to help me. It wasn't until now, the ass crack of dawn on Tuesday morning, that I was reminded of his name, as Cooper and I sat side by side on our boards, our legs outstretched, paddling through the flat water. "Where's Eric at?" I asked. He hadn't been around yesterday, and his truck wasn't in the driveway when Miller dropped me off earlier.
"Someone broke into Rick's house, so he's been trying to help him find a new place."
Rick. If I had remembered that a couple nights ago, what would have happened? Would I be here now, or would I be catatonic, watching the world float by in slow motion? "Oh," I said, switching my paddle to the other side and flexing my foot. A cramp was running up the side of my leg, and I wanted to straddle the board, but every time I did that, Cooper shook his head. He claimed it was because it would take us forever to get where we were going, but I swore it was because he wanted to torture me. Yesterday had been our second day of stand-up paddleboarding, and we'd rowed through still water until every inch of my body burned from the workout. "Thought Eric hated his dad," I said at last.
"Relationships are complicated,"
he replied, giving me a meaningful look. I curled my toes and tried to tell myself he wasn't talking about ours. Despite our conversation before the weekend, he still made no effort to hide the fact that he wanted me. He was respectful, but at the same time, gave me looks that undressed me and made my legs, and the area between them, feel weak.
"Okay, we're out far enough. Up you go,"
he said. He stood up effortlessly, and I felt a stab of jealousy at how easy he made it seem. Groaning, I placed the paddle between my legs and pushed myself up, wobbling a little as I quickly grabbed it again. Some greater power must have felt sorry for me, because I managed to balance myself without nearly toppling over like yesterday. The form was different from surfing. My feet were positioned on each side of the board instead of in the middle, but Cooper swore up and down it would all click together once we took on actual waves tomorrow and next week.
"Very nice," he murmured.
"Do you think I'll be ready in time for the movie?" I asked. I felt my heart drop a little when he laughed and shook his head.
"Not even close to it," he said.
I started to give him an earful, but he narrowed his eyes.
"Getting good at anything takes years, and it's not like you'll be doing the big stunts, Wills. Dixon just needs you to look like you know what the hell you're doing for the pivotal scenes. Trust me, I'm not going to let you fail at this."
I moved the paddle to the other side of the board, rowed four strokes as he'd shown me, and then switched sides. "I don't want to fail," I said. But it was more directed at the thoughts I'd had about giving into pills over the last few days.
"Dixon has faith in you,"
he said. "What about you?"
"I don't think you'll let me or yourself down."
That didn't answer my question, and frustrated, I sucked in air through my teeth. After that, the conversation shifted to the cast of the movie. A bunch of relatively unknown actors, if you didn't count my love interest, who starred as a dreadlocked werewolf on some CW show, and Cooper's next surf competition in October. When the waves picked up soon after, we sat down and paddled back to shore, where the beach was slowly beginning to fill up with the morning crowd. I slipped my enormous sunglasses from the top of my head over my eyes and grinned up at him. "Do I not look like Willow Avery?" I asked in a teasing voice. He shot me a sideways grin.
"Hottest tourist I've ever seen. But even if you were..."
He winked.
"Willow Avery. Nobody would bother you here."
I sniffed. "Are you kidding?" Lifting my board and paddle, I followed him through the sand. "You don't know how it is. Being noticed." He stopped halfway up the beach, just feet away from the sunbathers soaking in the hot morning sun.
"Tell me then."
He tossed his board and paddle into the sand, and I gently placed mine next to it. He held up a finger.
"I'll be right back."
He ran through the sand toward his house, disappearing inside, and came out less than a minute later carrying a bundle of towels in his arms. He grinned as he sprinted down to where I was sitting on the gritty ground, shook out the towels, and motioned for me to lie down with him. I complied, stretching out on the soft fabric and letting the sun warm my damp body. "I've got community service today," I reminded him.
"Stay with me."
I groaned. "Why do you have to say things like that?"
"Telling you what I want?"
"Yes," I said through clenched teeth. "I thought you didn't want to do this with me." My voice trailed off because neither of us had mentioned what we'd talked about in his Jeep last Friday, and I didn't want to bring it up.
"I don't want you to do this with me if you're not willing,"
he corrected.
"It's just that I'm still kind of shocked by this."
I cocked my eyebrow and he sighed, rolling over onto the side where his tattoo was. Propping himself up on his elbow, he explained,
"I've not been the best boyfriend in the past."
I made a strangled noise in the back of my throat. "Let me guess. Perpetual cheater?" He frowned.
"I don't cheat, Wills. If I say I'm with you, if we agree that we're together, I am. I just tend to sometimes put other things first."
He stared out at the sea as he said this, and my eyes followed his. I understood what he was saying. I'd had boyfriends after things had gone to hell with Tyler, some of them good, and some of them so bad I would have broken into a million and one pieces if I hadn't already been so screwed up. But in each relationship, I was the one to ruin things. I'd put my desire to drown out the world over everything else. Cooper rubbed his tongue back and forth over the center of his upper lip and curled strands of my dark hair around his fingers. Staring down at it, he continued,
"But the thing is, I've known you for a little over a week, Wills. I think about you more than surfing. I think about you when I wake up, when I'm giving someone else a lesson. Fuck, I think about you when I'm in the bathroom."
"Nice to know you shit while picturing me," I said, cocking an eyebrow. He let go of my hair and stroked the back of my neck, staring me directly in the eye.
"No, what I'm saying is I can't get you off my mind. I've never felt like this over a girl."
My heart felt as if it were shrinking because I'd heard that before, many times. The only difference now was that I wanted it to be true. Finally, I found my voice.
"Not even my probation officer's kid sister?"
He laughed, plopping his head back on his towel to gaze up into the clear sky.
"Nice to know Miranda's sister is professional, but to answer your question, no, I didn't. We were high school sweethearts, Wills. Love, relationships were different then."
"Were you about to say you loved me?" I joked, leaning over him to stare down into his eyes. My hair fell in a canopy over his face, and he inhaled the scent of it, some Victoria's Secret shampoo my mom had mailed me. I shivered.
"Because just so you know, I don't believe in love at first sight," I whispered. Neither do I.
I dropped flat onto the towel, barely breathing when I asked, Then what are we going to do?
Be honest with me for a second, Wills.
Yes?